Chapter 9. Blood in the Air. Matt ducked immediately. That instinct saved his life as something swung through the air above his head. Matt rolled to the side, his hand hitting something wet as it touched the floor.
"Murder!" he bellowed. "Murder in the camp! Bloody murder!"
Something moved toward him. The tent was completely black, but he could hear it. Matt stumbled, but luck was with him as again something swished near him. Matt hit the ground and rolled, flinging his hand to the side. He had left... there. He came up beside his sleeping pallet, his hand grasping at the long wooden haft there. He threw himself backward to his feet, hauling the Ashandarai up, then spun and slashed, not at the form moving through the tent toward him, but at the wall. The fabric cut easily, and Matt leaped out, clutching his long-bladed spear in one hand. With his other, he reached for the leather strap at his neck, his fingernails ripping at his skin in his haste. He pulled the foxhead medallion off and turned in the brush outside the tent. A weak light came from a nearby lantern on a post at an intersection of camp pathways. By it, Matt made out the figure sliding out the rip in the tent, a figure he had feared to see. The golem looked like a man, slender, with sandy hair and unremarkable features. The only thing distinct about the thing was the scar on its cheek. It was supposed to look harmless, supposed to be forgettable. If most people saw this thing in a crowd, they would ignore it, right up to the point where it ripped their throat out. Matt backed away. His tent was near a hillside, and he backed up to it, pulling the foxhead medallion up and wrapping it tightly by its leather strap to the side of his Ashandarai's blade. It was far from a perfect fit, but he had practiced this. The medallion was the only thing he knew that could hurt the golem. He worked swiftly, still yelling for help. Soldiers would be no use against this thing, but the golem had said before that it had been ordered to avoid too much notice. Attention might frighten it away. It did hesitate, glancing toward the camp. Then it turned back to Matt, stepping forward. Its movements were as fluid as silk, rippling in the wind. "You should be proud," it whispered. "The one who now controls me wants you more than anyone else. I am to ignore all others until I have tasted your blood." In its left hand, the creature carried a long dagger. Its right hand dripped blood. Matt felt a freezing chill. Who had it killed? Who else had been murdered in Matram Cawthon's stead? The image of Tylan flashed in his mind again. He had not seen her corpse. The scene was left to his imagination. Unfortunately, Matt had a pretty good imagination. That image in his head, smelling the blood on the air, he did the most foolish thing he could have. He attacked. Screaming in the open darkness, Matt spun forward, swinging the Ashandarai. The creature was so fast, it seemed to flow out of the way of his weapon. It rounded him like a circling wolf, footsteps barely making a sound in the dried weeds. It struck, its form a blur, and only a backward jump by reflex saved Matt. He scrambled through the weeds, swinging the Ashandarai. It seemed wary of the medallion. Light, without that, Matt would be dead and bleeding on the ground. It came at him again, like liquid darkness. Matt swung wildly and clipped the golem more by luck than anything else. The medallion made a searing hiss as it touched the beast's hand. The scent of burned flesh rose in the air, and the golem scrambled back.
"You didn't have to kill her, burn you," Matt yelled at it. "You could have left her. You didn't want her, you wanted me."
The thing merely grinned, its mouth an awful black, teeth twisted.
"A bird must fly, a man must breathe, I must kill."
It stalked forward, and Matt knew he was in trouble. The cries of alarm were loud now. It had only been a few moments, but a few more, and help would arrive.
Only a few more moments. "I've been told to kill them all," the golem said softly. "To bring you out. The man with the mustache, the aged one who interfered last time, the little dark-skinned woman who holds your affection. All of them. Unless I take you now." Burn that golem. How did the thing know about Tuon? How? It was impossible.
He was so startled that he barely had time to raise the Ashandara as the golem leaped for him. Matt cursed, twisting to the side, but too late. The creature's knife flashed in the air. Then the weapon jerked and ripped sideways from its fingers. Matt started, then felt something wrap around him and jerk him backward, out of the reach of the golem's swipe.
Weaves of air.
Teslin. She stood in front of his tent, her face a mask of concentration.
You won't be able to touch it directly with weaves,
Matt screamed as her air deposited him a short distance from the golem. If she had been able to bloody raise him up high enough, he would have been fine with that. But he had never seen an Aes Sedai lift someone more than a pace or so in the air. He scrambled to the side, the golem charging after him. Then something large flew between them, causing the golem to dodge fluidly. The object, a chair, crashed into the hillside beside them. The golem spun as a large bench smashed into it, throwing it backward. Matt steadied himself, looking at Teslin, who was reaching into his tent with invisible weaves of air.
Clever woman, he thought.
Weaves could not touch the golem, but something thrown by them could. That would not stop it. Matt had seen the creature pluck out a knife that had been rammed into its chest. It had shown the indifference a man would show at plucking a burr from his clothing. But now soldiers were leaping over pathways, carrying pikes or swords and shields. The entire camp was being lit up. The golem gave Matt a glare, then dashed off toward the darkness outside of camp. Matt spun, then froze as he saw two red arms set pikes against the oncoming golem. Gorderon and Fergin, both men who had survived the time in Ebudar.
No! Matt yelled. Let it!
Too late. The golem indifferently slid between the pikes, grabbing each man's throat in a hand, then crushing its fingers together. With a spin, it ripped free their flesh, dropping both men. Then it was off into the darkness.
Burn you, Matt thought, starting to dash after it. I'll gut you and—
He froze. Blood in the air. From inside his tent. He had nearly forgotten that.
Olivar!
Matt scrambled back to the tent. It was dark within, though the scent of blood once again assaulted him.
Light! Teslin, can you—
A globe of light appeared behind him. The light of her globe was enough to illuminate a terrible scene inside. Lopin, Matt's serving man, lay dead, his blood darkening the tent floor in a large black pool. Two other men, Riddim and Will Reeve, red arms who had been guarding his door, were heaped onto his sleeping pallet. He should have noticed that they were missing from their post.
Fool.
Matt felt a stab of sorrow for the dead. Lopin, who had only recently shown that he was recovered from Nalisian's death.
Like Burnham, he had been a good man.
Not even a soldier. Just a serving man, content to have someone to take care of. Matt now felt terrible for having complained about him. Without Lopin's help, Matt would never have been able to escape Ebudar. And the four Red Arms, two of whom had survived Ebudar and the Golem's previous attack.
I should have sent word, Matt thought. Should have put the entire camp on alert.
Would that have done any good? The Golem had proven itself practically unstoppable. Matt had the suspicion that it could cut down the entire band in getting to him if it needed to. Only its master's command that it avoid attention prevented it from doing so. He did not see any sign of Olvar, though the boy should have been sleeping on his pallet in the corner. Lopin's blood had pooled nearby, and Olvar's blanket was soaking it up from the bottom. Matt took a deep breath and began searching through the shambles, overturning blankets and looking behind travel furniture, worried at what he might find. More soldiers arrived, cursing. The camp was coming alert. Horns of warning blowing, lanterns being lit, armor clanking.
Olvar,
Matt said to the soldiers gathering at his doorway. He had searched the entire bloody tent.
Has anyone seen him?
I think he was with Noel, said Sloane Maddow, a wide-eared red arm. They—
Matt shoved his way out of the tent, then ran through camp toward Noel's tent. He arrived just as the white-haired man was stepping out, looking about in alarm.
Olvar?
Matt asked, reaching the older man.
He's safe, Matt,
Noel said, grimacing.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to alarm you. We were playing snakes and foxes, and the boy fell asleep on my floor. I pulled a blanket over him. He's been staying up so late waiting for you these nights that I figured it was best not to wake him. I should have sent word.
You're sorry? Matt said, grabbing Noel in an embrace. You bloody wonderful man. You saved his life.
An hour later, Matt sat with Tom and Noel inside Tom's small tent. A dozen Red Arms guarded the place, and Oliver had been sent to sleep in Teslin's tent. The boy did not know how close he had come to being killed. Hopefully, he never would. Matt wore his medallion again, though he needed to find a new leather strap. The Ashandarai had cut the other one up pretty bad. He would need to find a better way to tie it on there.
Tom, Matt said softly, the creature threatened you, and you too, Noel. It didn't mention Oliver, but it did mention Tuan.
How would the thing know about her? Tom asked, scratching at his head.
The guards found another corpse outside of the camp. Derry.
Derry was a soldier who had gone missing a few days back, and Matt had presumed him to have deserted. It happened sometimes, though desertion was irregular in the band.
He'd been dead a few days.
It took him that long ago?
Noel said, frowning. Noel's shoulders were stooped, and he had a nose the shape of a large bent pepper, growing right out of the middle of his face. He had always looked worn to Matt. His hands were so gnarled, they seemed to be all knuckles.
It must have interrogated him, Matt said. Found out people I spent time with, where my tent was.
Is the thing capable of that? Tom said. It seemed more like a hound to me, hunting you out.
It knew where to find me in Thailand's palace, Matt said. Even after I was gone, it went to her rooms. So either it asked someone, or it was observing. We'll never know if Derry was tortured or if he just ran across the golem while it was sneaking about the camp and spying. But the thing is clever.
It wouldn't actually go after Tuan, would it? Threatening his friends was probably just a way to unhinge Matt. After all, the thing had shown tonight that it still had orders to avoid too much attention. That didn't console Matt much. If that monster hurt Tuan, there was only one way to make sure that didn't happen.
So, what do we do?
Noel asked.
We're going to hunt it, Matt said softly. And we're going to kill the bloody thing.
Noel and Tom fell silent.
I won't have this thing chasing us all the way to the Tower of Genji, Matt said.
But can it be killed, Matt?
Tom asked.
Anything can be killed, Matt said. Teslin proved that she could still hurt it using the one power, if she was clever. We'll have to do something similar.
What?
Noel asked.
I don't know yet, Matt said.
I want you two to continue your preparations. Get us ready so that we can leave for the Tower of Genji as soon as my oath to Varen will let us.
Burn me, I still need to talk to Elaine. I want Eludra's dragon started. I'll have to write her another letter. Stronger this time. For now we're going to make some changes. I'm going to start sleeping in the city. A different inn each night. We'll let the band know it, so if the golem listens, it will find out. There will be no need for it to attack the men. You two will need to move to the city too. Until this is done, until it is dead or I am. The question is what to do about Oliver. The thing didn't mention him, but...
He saw understanding in Tom's and Noel's eyes. Matt had left Thailand behind, and she was dead now. He was not going to do the same to Oliver.
We'll have to take the boy with us, Tom said. Either that or send him away.
I heard the Aes Sedai talking earlier,
Noel said, rubbing his face with a bony finger.
They're planning to leave. Maybe send him with them?
Matt grimaced. The way Oliver leered at women, the Aes Sedai would have him strung up by his toes in a day flat. Matt was surprised it had not happened already. If he ever found out which of the Red Arms was teaching the boy to act that way around women.
I doubt we'd be able to get him to go, Matt said. He'd be out of their sight and back here their first night away.
Tom nodded in agreement.
We'll have to take him with us, Matt said. Have him stay at the inns inside the city. Maybe that...
Matram Cawthon!
The shrill call came from outside Tom's tent. Matt sighed, then nodded to the other two and stood up. He stepped out of the tent to find that Jolene and her warders had bullied their way through the Red Arms and had nearly yanked open the tent flaps to come stalking in. His appearance drew her up short. Several of the Red Arms looked abashed at having let her through, but the men could not be blamed. Bloody Aes Sedai would bloody do what they bloody pleased. The woman herself was everything that Teslin was not. Slender and pretty, she wore a white dress with a deep neckline. She often smiled, though that smile became thin-lipped when she turned it on Matt, and she had large brown eyes, the type of eyes that could suck a man in and try to drown him. Pretty as she was, Matt did not think of her as a match for one of his friends. He would never wish Jolene upon someone he liked. In fact, he was too gentlemanly to wish her on most of his enemies. Best she stayed with Fenn and Blerick, her warders, who were madmen in Matt's opinion. Both were borderlanders, one Shinaran, the other Saldaean. Fenn's tilted eyes were hard. He always seemed to be looking for someone to murder. Each conversation with him was an interview to see if you fit the criteria. Blerick's topknot was growing in and getting longer, but it was still too short. Matt would have mentioned that it looked remarkably like a badger's tail glued to his head, except that he did not feel like being murdered today. It had already been a bloody awful evening. Jolene folded her arms beneath her breasts.
It appears that your reports of this creature that is chasing you were accurate.
She sounded skeptical. He had lost 5 good men, and she sounded skeptical. Bloody Aes Sedai. And, he asked, you know something about Golam?
Not a thing, she said. Regardless, I need to return to the White Tower. I will be leaving tomorrow.
She looked hesitant.
I would like to ask if you would lend me some horses for the trip. Whatever you can spare, I will not be picky.
Nobody in town would sell you any, eh? Matt said with a grunt.
Her face became even more serene.
Well, all right, Matt said. At least you asked nicely this time, though I can see how hard it was for you. I promised some to Teslin already. You can have some, too. It will be worth it to have you bloody women out of my hair.
Thank you, she said, her voice controlled. However, a word of advice. Considering the company you often keep, you might want to learn to control your language.
Considering the company I keep all too often, Matt said, it's bloody amazing I don't swear more. Off with you, Jolene. I need to write a letter to Her Royal Bloody Majesty Queen Elaine the Prim.
Jolene sniffed.
Are you going to swear at her, too?
Of course I am, Matt muttered, turning to go back to Tom's tent. How else is she going to trust that it's really from me?